Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Command is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Command wherever you get your audio and on YouTube. 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. Three times a week, Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, welcoming you back. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Why were the Packers so effective? It just seemed like everything came so easily for them. They averaged 6.5 yards per play. They went for 404 in the net. They didn't really keep their foot on the gas pedal necessarily. They didn't have to. And, you know, they challenged a lot of rules, made Washington make some tough decisions, and sometimes they guessed wrong.
No, I think that's a perfect way to characterize it, because I think I went back and watched it, and you kind of watched the pass stuff, and then you watched the rushing attack, and you're like, man, they actually played pretty physically. Like, they played that quote-unquote, like, commander style of football. It just felt fast. It felt physical. It felt downhill. But in the same breath, like, when you go watch the pass stuff, you're like, man, they're really putting – they're really testing a lot of rules for these defenders and kind of putting them in conflict based on kind of, you know, motions and pre-snap shifts and backfield action. And, you know, like, you know, one of the things that you hear about in coverage structure when you're teaching it is like, especially if you're playing some type of match or some type of man, it's like, I have number two if he's going vertical, right? But if I motion to a bunch and they kind of spray release that thing, I have to really be on my P's and Q's with my eye discipline about who the true number two is, right? So I think there was a lot of that stuff. You know, like, we're going to talk about Marshawn here in a second. Like, I'd love to deal with some of that, because I think his game kind of embodies some of the difficulties that that the team experienced. But I think there was a lot of stuff that Matt LaFleur did well to put this defense in conflict in terms of eye discipline and run fits. And that paid dividends for them in terms of offensive efficiency. And again, I got to give credit to Green Bay here too, because I think this is a tough – this is not the team you want to play on a short week. They're a fast, physical defense. They can rush the passer. And offensively, all those guys have been in the same system now for 4 years. And they all know it really well. You can get really complicated installs. And, like, I remember thinking on the opening drive, they had probably 3 or 4, you know, Jordan Love, check with me, tap the helmet situations. And I was like, man, that's tough to put in on a short week. But then I said that to Fletch, and Fletch was like, think about how long they've been in this offensive system. Like, they can probably do some really complicated stuff because they've all lived in it for a long time. And I felt like, watching it, I think you felt that in terms of their offensive execution.
One of the things that's come up about the Packers just having the Commanders' number, and it seemed like Washington got outcoached and outplayed, is maybe the LaFleur-Quinn matchup. I think a lot of people think about the playoff game where if you remember, Green Bay hung just about 50 on the Cowboys, scored 48. But there is this track record now of Green Bay having a lot of success against Dallas. When you go back through and you look at it, I don't think they've lost to Dallas at any point in the last five games, including that playoff game. And in the Flores era, he played or coached under Dan Quinn. He was, you know, in the offensive staff with Kyle Shanahan with you in Atlanta. Is there something to that where like to say he's got his numbers maybe overstated, but that he knows what Dan wants to do and is just one step ahead of him?
Yeah, I think there's a little, I don't know if he's got his number, but I think there are principles that you can abide by as an offensive coordinator when you know teams are going to be in certain coverage structures a lot, you know? So it's like, hey, we're going to run this and make sure that, like, a great example is like the first completion against Marshon Lattimore. You know, he's in man coverage. He's on the offensive left. They kind of speed motion the receiver to the offensive right. There's a two receiver kind of stack there. Those guys push vertical. Marshawn's got to go over the top, and then he just runs it out. And people are like, well, that's Marshawn should make that play. He should just run over the top. But I've seen them also run that same motion, and those guys push vertical, and then the guy runs like a little, like he's running out, and then runs an angle back across, and then catches a touchdown because he goes in. So it just puts, if you're in man coverage, getting into bunches and stacks off of motion is going to put you in conflict, right? And so, like, what does Joe want to do? He wants to play a lot of man coverage. And so these are the types of things teams are going to do to disrupt the man coverage rules of the Commanders.
When you're in a situation where they were running Lattimore across the whole formation, he was kind of trailing his guy. And then, as you said, they're running those outbreakers. He had no chance. Later in the game, I saw he passed one off to Mikey Sanders still, and they ended up defending it better. Like, what is the solution there? If they're running these like man beating concepts where you're running across the entire width of the field and now they're running something quick and you can't even get there in time to make the play. Like, was there an adjustment that needed to be made? Because they went to that same look at least three or four times.
Yeah, I think there are different ways. Like, so most teams have different versions of man. They have ones where you're going to bump it, ones where you're going to pass it. They have different rules when you get to a bunch. And I think that's the other thing is, like, I think the bunch rules this year for the team have actually been pretty good, like, in terms of man coverage, at least through the New York Giants game and through the training camp. But when you're motioning to a bunch, like, how do you get that communicated, for example? Like, how do you say, oh, hey, we're going to switch this off. We're going to go top hat here versus this bunch look. Like, it's challenging. And so I think this is one of those times where, you know, maybe you think you as a coach, you have like, oh, like, this is the way we're going to get this communicated. This is how we're going to do this. But when the real bullets start happening, it doesn't actually work the way you thought. And I think games like this are important. You know, as much as fans don't want to hear that, it's important to kind of show you cracks in how you're coaching things, how you're teaching things, how players are interpreting things. And so hopefully, like this, if they didn't have a positive solution in this specific call, because again, I'm sure they have different iterations of man coverage and different iterations of cover three and all that kind of stuff. But if they weren't able to execute it correctly, now as Joe Witt Jr. or the defensive coach, I can go and be like, hey, you know what? Like, This was going to be tough, but we can get this corrected now. We can get this communicated. And so I think it's good for them to see this stuff now because they can get it corrected and win some games later in the year versus teams that want to run these same concepts.
Jordan Love's quarterback rating when targeting Marshon Lattimore was 118, 6 targets, 5 catches, 84 yards against him in the game. Lined up mostly at corner in the slot 6 times, in the box by PFF's, you know, alignment 9 times. So he was moving around the formation and traveling and trailing occasionally. Let's get into Lattimore in a little more detail. 4 penalties with 2 that weren't accepted. So I think it's actually 6 penalties he's been flagged for in 2 games now. Has it been as bad as it looks?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, there's that first play where he's running the big out and you kind of say, well, I'm sure a lot of fans would be like, oh, we got to make that play. But that's an impossible play. Like, there's no way he can make that. Then there's another play where they run a little play action, dink and duck. It looks to me like he's in quarters coverage. There should be a flat player underneath that, and there's nobody there because of the run action. It's kind of pulled everybody up. He gets a PI, I think, on the next one. But that's kind of who he is. Like, when he's in press man, he's going to use his hands. He's going to be physical. He's going to demand that the ref make a call. And that's kind of the style of player that he is. So, like, I think that's kind of when you brought him in, that's like who he is. And you can kind of coach that out of him a little bit, but I think that's ultimately who he wants to be. And then there's the go ball down the sideline where to me, that looks like a little bit of offensive pass interference late in the down. The guy pushes off, kind of a big push off, and he makes that great catch, toe tapping down the sideline. So, and then there's the next play, which is a straight man beater where the tight end's running a corner, his receiver's running a shallow cross, and the tight end is mirroring Marshawn's velocity. So I've actually run this route before with Kyle, and before we used to be able to just go block him, but now they've changed the offensive PI rules. So you just kind of run, and as he tries to run over the top, you accelerate, and you're not even really running a route. You're just kind of running at an angle to make him slow down. And so, like, on that specific play, if we're not going to exchange responsibilities, like, my job as the tight end is to make it impossible for you to cover your guy. And so he's going to be wide open. And Marshawn does a good job getting there late, making the tackle. But I look at those plays and I'm like, you know, how many of them are actually his fault? You know, he makes a PBU later on a ball down the field. And when you look at the film, you're like,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, like, he's put in conflict in the man beating situations. I think the post game, his post game interview, he said, like, they just ran a bunch of man beating concepts, which is true, right? Or, hey, I'm in quarters, I don't have a flat player, like, I can't make a play on this out. Like, that is also true. And I think it's important for fans to remember, and just viewers and observers of football, that not every coverage takes away every single route. There are holes. And if you have the right call, like, there's no way he can cover it. So, like, are there areas he could get better? Sure, and I'm sure he would tell you the same thing. Like, I need to be a little bit less handsy in man-to-man coverage. Need to watch the penalties. I think that's 100% reasonable. But again, like, that's kind of how he plays. And some of these looks in this game were going to be very, very challenging for him to win in terms of what the how the defense was called.
So two more quick things then on the defense before we get out of here. The first is the tight end Tucker Kraft was uncoverable. When you watched back, what did you see? I mean, that guy went 6 for 124 and a touchdown, had a 57-yard catch and run. Who's at fault on some of the coverage stuff against the tight end?
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/command to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So it's funny, like, I was actually talking to Kyle about this the other day in terms of, like, some of the slam flat stuff. And we used to call that play boot when I was with Kyle. And I remember in 2013 when he put it in. And it was basically because, like, you'd get these teams that play, like, aggressive man coverage, and the safety is the C-gap run fit player. It was actually put in versus teams that play a lot of quarters, right? Because, like, the safety is fitting inside the nine technique. So if I'm the tight end on the left, there's a guy going to be on my outside shoulder. That's the nine technique. If I block out, that safety has to fit the C-gap, which is my inside shoulder, my right shoulder. And so what you do is you block the nine, right? That guy's got me in man-to-man coverage. He would lose eyes on me because he's got to make the tackle on the back, and then I would just slift out to the flat. So he had two catches on that, and that's just a really tough look. And so people say, you know, like, I always used to have this conversation with coaches. It's like, why would you ever play a six technique? So someone head over the tight end, because as a tight end, it gives me all the advantage. Like, I can reach you. I can cut you off. It really doesn't give the defensive player an advantage. But it's for stuff like this. Like, if I play a six, then now the safety can keep eyes on me. He's the force player. They made that change later in the game, right? The other catch that he had, the long kind of seam down the middle of the field, you can tell there's a coverage bust there, and I think I knew who's responsible, but I'm not going to put that name out there. It's just they're motioning to a 4x1. Number one, the player takes number one. Number two goes up the seam. The guy who's supposed to carry number two gets a little bit lost in the sauce because the back comes out to the same side, and you end up getting a guy running free down the field because of they kind of got to that tight bunch. They expanded or they spread out from it, and there's a guy running up the seam that's uncovered. And I think those are all things like where did Tucker Kraft do anything spectacular in terms of route running and creating separation? No. Where was he schemed up? Yeah. And I think that's part of why Green Bay is a tough out on a short week. It's because, like, you know, if we play them again, I'm sure Joe Witt Jr. is like, we're going to play a six. We're going to let the safety fit this from the perimeter and keep his eyes in the backfield, as opposed to the decision we made to have him come fit from depth. So I think there's going to be a lot of things to learn from this tape. And I think there are things that are going to be easily that can be corrected to make this group more efficient moving forward versus some of these looks.
My biggest injury concern longevity into the season wise is Dietrich Wise. You know, there was a question, who do you worry more about, losing Eckler or Wise? And I just feel like the running back position is more replaceable than a guy with the size that they don't have anybody quite like. You know, it was a premium priority this offseason to stop the run and add size. And so to lose Wise, there's not anyone else in the DN room like him, right? Martin's more of a pass rusher. Von Miller, you went out there as a closer, as a pass rusher. First of all, how big of a loss do you expect it to be? Or am I overrating my concern here? And then second, what do they do differently without him?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Because again, like much like Austin, like the professionalism, the physicality, all those things are things that they're going to be missing sorely on that front. The leadership. I do think, you know, you get guys like Jalen Holmes on the practice squad. He'll probably be elevated. I think Jean-Baptiste, in his limited opportunities, has shown some of that physicality, some of that length, some of that size. It's obviously not the same. And also, they've moved Kinlaw around the front a little bit. So I think there are ways to offset the loss. You know, with the back, it's with the running back thing, and Austin Eckler, it's a very clear path. It's like you have guys on the roster, let's elevate them, let's put them in the roles we want them to be in, and we're going to be okay. Here, it's going to be a little bit more guys growing into opportunities. So like Jalen Holmes, who's I think a very good player, but has been like kind of an up and down practice squad guy for this team, and I'm excited to see him in an expanded role. Jean-Baptiste, again, is a young football player who's very skilled and very talented, but I think still has to grow as a player also. Could you move Kinlaw to the perimeter? I think that would be a great fit for him, but again, he's got to learn the nuances of those techniques in that position. So I do think this feels like it's going to be a little bit more challenging to deal with. And you mentioned Jacob Martin. I actually think he's done a great job against the run. But again, the body type, the physicality is a little bit different. So I think they've got four solutions, and it'll be interesting to see how they kind of choose to play that out moving forward. Because again, I do think Dietrich, again, the frame, the physicality, the length, the strength is one thing to lose. But I think the leadership, the experience is really maybe the more valuable thing that they're losing.
Wanted to kick off the week with a detailed deep dive into the Packers game and a breakdown from Logan on what he saw on the tape. Give you some thoughts on some of the injuries the Commanders suffered as well. Next time you hear from us will be our preview pod looking ahead to the Raiders. Again, Commanders having not played since Thursday at home against a team traveling cross country that still hasn't played as we record this on Monday. You know, they play Monday Night Football tonight. So pretty amazing rest discrepancy that should greatly benefit Washington, regardless of who's under center. And you know, obviously on the next pod, we'll have a lot more information and detail on Jaden Daniels as he continues to try to ramp up what he's able to do this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Wherever you get your audio, three times a week, take command. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to the pod. And you can watch us on YouTube, streaming in high definition, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 YouTubes as well. For our producer, Evan, and for Logan, I'm Grant saying so long for Take Command.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.